Hey, Catherine, how's your ass today?
That's a bit of a personal question, but it's you know, huge as ever.
Well, I think it can be used as the basis of an art show, don't you?
Probably, since it seems like the ass is like, you know, big art.
Oh, that's news. What the art world does now. Thanks for sending me that article, by the way.
Anytime, James. I get all kinds of art news on my Apple News.
And this is called, an article we're referring to is The Cheek of It. Artists celebrate the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you send that to me?
Because I thought it was so silly, you know, always in an attempt to make art relevant. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. It just seems so, it was just more of this ridiculous stuff that people pull together. And at first I thought I was like mocking it internally. And then I thought, you know, it's just actually kind of cute. And
oh,
I
boy.
Just thought we could talk about it.
I think a lot of times, Catherine, you're better going with your original instinct.
Oh, my gosh. But the pictures are precious.
The pictures are precious. Awful.
I know they're awful, but they're funny. Especially that one with the mannequin bending over.
This is when you know you have lost your way entirely. When you decide you have too much time on your hands, when you decide you need to put an art show together of artist representations of butts.
Right.
Nothing there. We'll have a link in the show notes so you can see the awfulness yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're just awful pieces of work. There's a lot of farting. There's a lot of butt cheeks, like literal butt cheek prints. It's like, wow, that's art. Putting paint on your butt and then putting it on paper. I you know, the only thing that's missing here?
No.
The photocopy. I don't know how they can do a show about butts without a photocopy of a butt.
I thought the same thing. Isn't that funny? We had the same thought about that.
Well, yes, we are so smart.
I know we are so smart. But no, I just thought this was very silly. And it just, I don't know what this, I guess.
Oh, what does this mean? I can tell you what it means. This is the herald of the end of the society, of our civilization. This is the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, the butt.
Oh.
The butt rider.
Well, they justified as saying it's the largest muscle in the body that's responsible for posture and weight bearing.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know what? My biggest toe is the biggest toe on my foot. I'm
right.
Not going to put a show on for my big toe.
Right.
Of course, I could get in the show if I put it in somebody's ass, I guess.
Oh, my God. You could get in this show.
Is it art worthy then?
I don't know. I just thought this was funny. So the Skip Gallery did this installation, and they righted
well,
the wrong.
Is it a comedy show or is it an art gallery?
No, it was an art gallery.
So maybe it shouldn't be funny. I mean, it can be funny, but maybe they have the wrong avenue or venue for this.
I don't know, but it was showing in Greece, and then it's going to London later this year. I thought it was funny. Maybe they're dead serious. I don't know.
Well, like I said, they have nothing else to do. They're bankrupt of ideas. This is what happens when you have no ideas left. Because it's not like these works are just randomly selected based on the fact that they have bottoms in them. Other than that, there doesn't seem to be any connection. It's like, I need a thread. Give me a thread.
Yeah, it's some of them are just ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. Oh,
I'm sorry. That's the way to start off. It's a very cheeky Monday, I guess.
It's a cheeky Monday, and
even though it's Thursday, or is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, I knew what day it was.
Yeah, hello. You know, is this the bottom of the art world? Maybe that was my point here.
Oh, I wish it was. I really wish this is as bad as it would get. But we know that's not true.
We know that's not true. Mm. Okay, go on. That's so much for the cheek of it.
You know, it's not me that's doing this. You did this to me.
I know.
Because these are
the
articles that you're sending me. You are triggering me. You should send trigger warnings on those emails. Or I should just assume that anything that comes from Catherine is going to trigger me.
I know. I look hard, long and hard for this stuff, James. Long and hard.
How do you come across these articles?
Through Apple News.
So you're using Apple News, which is basically spoon-feeding you, like, algorithmically, what it thinks you want.
Exactly. And I kind of like that about it. I know that we just had that discussion. But, as soon as I started looking for art stuff, and then, you know, through the Apple News, like the Apple News Plus that I subscribe to, and then, you know, I subscribe to the different magazine, whatever, you know, the publications. And I just get this plethora of crazy stuff. And, you know, Beat's reading about the Delta virus all day long. So I'm kind of enjoying it.
Well, I'm pretty close to giving up on most printed media news outlets like the BBC and Axios. Axios has just gone off the deep end now, as from my point of view. I used to love them because they were more central left, but now they just, it feels like they just fell off the left end of the swimming pool.
Oh.
I don't know. That doesn't even make sense, but okay. Neither do they. So now it's just going to be TikTok from now on.
TikTok. Oh, yeah, that's
if
what
it's
you
not
said.
On TikTok, it doesn't exist. Hey, how much did you fall in love with Cat Epidemiologist?
I loved her.
Oh,
love
she's
her.
Amazing.
She is.
I shouldn't like her. I mean, she's kind of like, I wouldn't say she's liberal, but just looking at her from a distance, she's got bangs and she's got these big cat glasses and she sounds like she's from Minnesota. These are not things that would generally attract me to a person. But
oh my God.
I don't know. She just pulls it all together into a beautiful ensemble of beautiful, brainy intelligence.
Yeah, I liked it. I like her.
And that's
a lot.
On TikTok. I found her on TikTok.
Wow. I still don't use TikTok.
Talking about dancing butts, I mean, that's what TikTok should be for.
I know, right?
Thankfully, it has
I
an algorithm.
They were for that.
Well, yes, but it has. This is the beauty of TikTok. It has an algorithm. You can teach it very quickly. No butts, please. No dancing, please. Just smart people.
I'll have to re-engage with TikTok. I'm off Twitter now.
Well, I think you have to. I think it's good for adults, TikTok, because I think you have to go in knowing what you want to see and not just let yourself be carried on the whims of the TikTok algorithm. Because, A, you know, this is kind of China-backed media company, so they can push whatever narrative they want. And I think to some degree they do. I know there have been people who have been anti-Chinese that have been ghosted from their algorithm, people that I follow that. Anyway, we don't need to go too deeply into that, but
no.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's for kids. You really have to have an idea of what you want to see. Otherwise, it's just going to be Facebook, but probably worse.
Yeah, I don't do Facebook. I deactivated my account.
That's probably a good idea. Now, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I felt the same way when I went to North Carolina State University School of Design.
Mm-hmm.
I went there as a graduate student, and I was very pleased that I found some really top-notch professors. I had come from the Rhode Island School of Design, which is considered to be a good school. And it was a good school. I got great teachers there. I also had the worst teacher I ever had there as well. that was instructive in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But when I got to NC State, I honestly don't want to be dismissive, but I wasn't expecting that much. But they had Vince Foote, who was bar none, like the top design educators I ever came across, and a bunch of other great professors as well. I mean, really, they were packed full, but I felt like the program at that time, this was the late 90s, was great if you knew what you wanted and who, and you had a path you wanted to follow, but it looked to me like the undergraduates were more adrift. There was less of a path given for them. So it was like, there's some great resources here, but unless you know what you're looking for and what you're doing, you could just float in and float out and not really get much out of it.
So that's like TikTok?
Well, it's just the idea that the older you get, the more refined, you know, the more mature you become, hopefully the better you are at defining your own path and picking out the good stuff from the bad stuff. I guess this is a life hack podcast now or
life coaching.
Are there still life coaches out there?
I don't know. I never even understood that concept, but.
Well, the funny thing is that was my bread and butter for years. I was a web designer. I just got one life coach after another.
It was a real big thing for a while.
Yeah, I guess they're probably not. Now, I was lucky because a lot of the life coaching stuff back then was just complete nonsense. The ones I was dealing with were generally either psychiatrists or psychologists, or I had one woman who was a really good headhunter, you know, for business and for job seekers and stuff like that. So these were all people who had bona fide careers in helping people that had moved into or expanded their careers into the life coaching area. So it wasn't just some weird hipster or hippie from Sedona trying to sell you beads and whatnot.
It would be better if they had a technical degree, expertise behind their coaching.
Just some expertise into actually helping people rather than...
Exactly. That's why I meant.
It was a weird scene. You said something about a weird scene. Do you have another weird scene?
No, I was just thinking, like, with your programming, do you want to talk about the code art?
Again, this wasn't me. This was you. Now, I'm actually quite ambivalent about this next article that you sent me, and it was, let me look at the article. It says, code art rooted in unlikely era, 1960s.
Right.
Well, it's not that unlikely. That's when we started programming. So it's not that unlikely of a place to start with coded art.
Right.
Another Apple News story, or story right. you sent me on Apple News. Where was that originally published?
It says Fast Company.
Oh, Fast Company. Company. Oh, it does. Okay. I see that. We're very top.
The rootedness, I thought, was like the original artist that Casey Reese's work is based on is that Solowit, who actually did program, not program, but he had instruction-based art.
Yeah, it was weird.
From what I read, it didn't seem that was computer-driven. Casey Reese has taken it a step further and put it into a computer. Why don't you fill me in on this? Because as I was reading it, my mind was just getting boggled.
Well, I think that original guy is interesting, but also kind of dumb. So it was instruction-based in that he mm-hmm. would write out a set of instructions.
Right.
And then he would give it to someone else, and those people would execute the instructions and then, quote, mm-hmm. create the, quote, art.
Right.
And he says the art part is actually in writing the instructions.
Yes.
And I don't think that's true. I think, but you know, my very strict interpretation of art or definition of art is, you know, it's something that you have to be able to see and react to, or not see necessarily, but it's something you need to be able to sense. You know, you need to be able to interact with it in some way, see it, hear mm-hmm. it, feel it. And then you have an emotional response to it. So
yes.
The instructions are completely abstract. So you can't really even interact with them. Unless you're reading them.
Yeah, and that's why I sent you the article, because of your definition of, like, what is art. Solowit said in 1967, the idea becomes a machine that makes the art. That was a quote.
Yeah, and I'm just speechless at that, because I don't know really what that means. A lot of time I'm reading these articles, I feel like, wait a second, that didn't make any sense, what they just said. Artists do that a lot.
Right, and it was from Paragraphs on Conceptual Art.
Yeah, conceptual art.
Conceptual art. I found it interesting. It just made me think. It's like, what is art? Again, I just wanted to kind of dive into there and just kind of suspend my reality and just immerse myself into this concept, the concept of conceptual art. How redundant is that? You know, do they have a point or don't they? Or is it just more art speak?
I think it's art speak, because I don't think conceptual art really is a thing. If you are trying to convey an idea that has merit and that has an emotional trigger mm-hmm. to it, mm-hmm. you're probably a writer. Or if you're doing it in film, then you're a filmmaker. If you're doing it in painting, you're a painter. You're actually making things. It's not really conceptual. If you have an idea, or maybe you're a storyteller, you know, you don't really have to call it conceptual art. You can call it whatever medium you're working in. That's mm-hmm. why we have titles for medium, so we understand what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And in this case, Casey Reese is working in the digital realm.
And yes.
As I said earlier, I'm a little bit ambivalent about it because I think it's an interesting realm to work in. He's clearly doing some, quote, experimental work. I don't mean to be derogatory when I say that, but he's doing experimental work. He's mm-hmm. manipulating the medium and trying to figure out how to use it and develop it. That's mm-hmm. you know, that's worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of his work is interesting. I clearly get a vibe on some of his stuff. But
I do too.
It's like the beginning. It's like the seed of something.
Right.
But at the end of the day, especially the piece outlined in this article, I come away with thinking, congratulations, you just invented a screensaver.
Right.
That's all he's done here. He's taken geometric patterns, created a program mm-hmm. where those geometric patterns continually, quote, evolve into mm-hmm. different things. So they're shifting and moving, and mm-hmm. it's not pre-programmed, so it's always changing, and every moment is a different and unique moment. I don't know why things always have to be different and unique or new. Maybe
right.
because nothing is new, so we try to pretend like things are new.
Well, they're saying different and unique, yet the basis of this on Solowit's work was to be able to recreate, vis-a-vis his instructions, ad infinitum. I mean, this is in perpetuity. Anyone can pick up Solowit's instructions, maybe not anyone, maybe an artist, and recreate the art. Because his original works or his wall drawings, he did wall drawings and structures, and he called his sculptures structures, and he would deconstruct them into these cubist forms. But the wall drawings were actually executed on site and then destroyed after the gallery exhibit concluded. Yeah, they were constructed. So it gave the work, he said, like a physical, you know, the physical form of the work, like an ephemeral quality.
Yeah.
And so that's, yeah.
Things, well, artwork, this is a good point. Artwork doesn't have to, and probably it can't last forever. So let's not pretend like it can or should.
Right. And so his instructions for the work allow the drawings to be reproduce, and they're still being reproduced again and again without the artist involvement, because he did pass away, I think, in 2007. And so people are still creating Solowitz art. So I guess that's my question. It's like, was his art then the instruction? And everything else is just reproduction.
Well, no, you can't interact with just the instructions. You can interact with the instructions, but unless the instructions are giving you some kind of emotional hit, then that's not the art. That's not where the art is. The art is in looking at the drawings and assessing whether those have merit or not.
Okay.
So it's not the instructions. It's like Ansel Adams did exactly this. Ansel Adams was a complicated figure. It seems like, oh, he's just taking a picture and developing it. His artistry was twofold. One, it's actually multifold. He finds areas to take great pictures. He finds the place where it's a beautiful scene and it's well composed. So that's one aspect. And you know, right. A lot of us can do that. A lot of us can find those scenes. But also, he would then wait for the moment. He would invest himself and wait for the right moment and get the right climactic experience from the scene.
Yes.
But then his real brilliance was in the darkroom, because he would take what would otherwise be a nicely composed scene, fairly bland, and he would manipulate the development process. You know, today we would do it in Photoshop. He was doing this all in an actual dark room with light, with dodging and burning, to make a sort of average photograph into an extraordinary photograph. And in doing that, he would write down very detailed instructions on how to develop that particular negative into a print.
Oh, I did not know that.
So he could do it over and over again. He could do a print, you know, figure out just the exact right quote formula to develop that print, so he'd come back 10 years later and then look at his notes and then recreate another print just as all the other prints. Of course, there's going to be slight variations from print to print, because that's just the nature of physical photography. But his artwork wasn't in those detailed notes. His artwork was in the actual final print.
The actual final print. Okay. Okay. Point taken. Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting article.
Wait, did I win a point?
You won a point. Woo! Yay, one for James.
I didn't realize we were pointing this. Oh, yeah, no. Of course. This is a struggle for dominance.
A struggle for dominance,
as everything is.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, because I know you generate your work a lot on the iPad, and I love your images, and I just thought it was just an interesting stepping off point.
Yeah, those are two different mediums, though. I'm really just painting on the iPad. This person, Casey, is genuinely using the computer to generate code to create the artwork, and there are a lot of people who are doing it, and I think he's got some interesting concepts and works there, but
absolutely.
I think this is maybe one area where he's blind, or the people looking at this are just blinded to the obvious nature of this. This is literally a screensaver, and this is like from the 1990s kind of screensaver. We developed this in the 1990s to save our screens from burn-in, and we created these algorithms that would generate subtle changes in geometry or whatever that we have, or a star field was one of the most famous ones.
I remember that, yeah.
So this is a modern star field. Well, not a modern star field. This is just another form of star fields, basically. So there's nothing really new to it.
Yeah, I just thought it
more interesting, for that matter. It's really not that interesting. His other work that was, I found more interesting than this. So I was a little bit disappointed that they let out with this and not some of his other work.
Right. And the most interesting, I think, was the reference to Saul Lewitt's work. And when I did a little deeper dive into him, I actually liked his stuff.
Okay.
I did.
I didn't dive into him too much. I wasn't.
I thought that was a more interesting aspect of the story, that they kind of linked that, is it was maybe inspired by his work. The written instructions. Oh, anyway, so much for that, huh?
Yeah. And then I guess we get to the real meat of the story, or the real meaty story, the story that sent me a little over the edge.
Which one's that?
Title of which, and I am shocked and disgusted that this was published by Forbes. I genuinely thought that Forbes was a reasonable news source until I read this article, and they have completely broken any trust or respect I had from them from publishing this article, the title of which is White Male Artist Wants to Know If You'll Buy His Shit NFTs.
Right. Oh, God.
And he's not being cute about it. He's literally selling shit.
He's literally selling shit.
His shit.
Yes.
Which is an homage to an earlier artist whose name I don't give a shit about, or would buy a shit about from, or buy a shit from.
Right, right.
In the 60s or whenever, because everything was done in the 60s. I don't know why we even bother.
I know, the 60s, right?
This artist, no, I shouldn't use that word in this in these terms. This person, what? You know, canned his shit and sold it off.
Right.
And now this white male artist, and that's his name, WMA, and we don't know his actual identity, so it could be a black woman or some other entirely different, it could be a computer, it could be a ferret. I don't know.
It could be. There's a really compelling little photo, but I'm not sure it's even him.
That's part of the art. I put that in quotes.
Anonymous figure.
It's not art.
So yeah, in 1961.
Well, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not anonymous. This person has created an identity. So we have identity. Right. It's not like they're just putting it out there. Like Banksy is more of an anonymous artist, even though we know him. He's more along the lines of anonymous because he just leaves his work out there.
Right, right.
That's a bad example too, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, but like, you know, it was so in 1961, Piero Manzoni did produce a series of 90 works.
90?
That was his 90 works, yeah. He was
That's
Italian,
a lot of shit.
Again, a conceptual artist, okay? It was his breakthrough, Merda di Artista, known as Artist Shit in English. He canned 30 grams of his own excrement and numbered and signed cans. And so this, I guess, WMA has taken off. Doing the same thing. So fill in the audience in terms of what white male artist excrement is composed of. Because I found that probably the most.
Well, let's not forget the detail of what they're selling them, the 30 grams of shit. They're linking the price of that to the current price of 30 grams of gold.
Right. I forgot about that part. You're right. Okay.
Which is an important fact because I'm going to read. I could basically just read this whole article and dissect it line by line for its meaninglessness and disgustingness. But I'm not going to because that would be stupid. This is one line. Here we go. And this is a quote from the article. And this is a quote from, quote, the, well, I don't know if I want to call him the artist, but whatever, the person involved.
Yes.
Or people. The appeal of a gold standard removed by Nixon in 1971 is that arrests control of the issuance of money out of the hands of imperfect human beings, end quote. Okay, so that's an interesting quote because it basically suggests that this person really has no basic understanding of economic theory, or history. And what I love about it most, though, this is like Fox News because, you know, Fox News is now based on one of the few advertisers that has left is gold. People who want to buy gold, you know, they're gold sellers. So Fox News now is trying to show you how terrible the economy is. And you have to find some reserve currency that you can buy that will save your bacon. So gold. So their hosts talk about gold and then they inundate you with gold commercials. So. This guy he's probably just a Fox News contributor. He's probably Tucker Carlson. They're just trying to sell gold.
White male artist. Wouldn't that be funny if it was Tucker Carlson?
Oh, it is. I'm going to say right now, with 101% absolute authority, that Tucker Carlson is a white male artist. Drop some truth bomb there, huh?
I'm speechless.
And then what you were getting to earlier, though, his mechanism for, he's not just shitting out his artwork.
No.
He has a mythology, methodology.
There's a method. There's
it.
A method to the madness. There is.
And it is to find artists that he appreciates or thinks of as great artists in the past, looking at their diets, spending a day eating their diet, and then pooping that diet out.
Right. I just thought, I'm sorry. I couldn't take this seriously. And then he cans it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is another quote from the article. This is the last quote that I will subject you to.
Please, please don't. Yes, go for it. Go.
What greater gesture of intimacy and appreciation is there than to follow a man's diet, pass their embodied experience through his own? That's the quote. Another completely nonsensical thing to say. If you're talking about intimacy, I don't think shit is the first place I go to. Is the first place I go to. I can think of a lot of intimate things I've done with other people. Well, one person, generally speaking. That felt a lot more intimate than that and had nothing to do with food or shit, thankfully.
Right.
I generally try to keep shit out of my intimate encounters.
Exactly. So what do you think the point of this is? Just to make money? Because now he's not only selling the shit, he's selling NFTs.
Well, it's a con job, as all the high art stuff is. Oh, right. We forgot they're being sold as NFTs. As if it wasn't enough.
If it wasn't enough, that's why. It just kept going and going. This article just kept giving and giving. In terms of like the I don't know.
These people are so lucky that I am not the sole arbiter of taste or justice for that matter.
So, yeah. So not only does he sell the little jars of crap, but he's NFTing it. It's just beyond me as to how this stuff even, who thinks of this stuff?
I don't know how you con people into writing about this or buying it or thinking about it even. I don't understand that process. How totally lack and devoid of any appreciation for truth or honesty or reality do you have to be able to engage with this kind of nonsense?
I don't know.
I mean, I understand it from the point of view of the con man. He's uh-huh. just, he's trying to find a way to get his fingers into the pie.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that let them in, the quote, the gatekeepers, what are you doing?
That's my question, James. That's my question. And it's maddening.
Whatever you're doing, stop it. Stop.
Right. Right. So these articles just pop up. But that was probably the weirdest, and obviously did trigger you. I'm shocked.
Oh, are you kidding me? Did you expect me not to get completely riled up about that?
This is disgusting.
This is really disgusting. How, if you had if you just picked 10 random Americans to read these right. articles, do you not think that at least 9 of them would find this disgusting?
Yeah, I found it disgusting. I found it. It was definitely off-putting. You start thinking, it's like, you know, like you were saying with the gatekeepers, it's like, who is allowing this into the realm of the art world, and to what extent? I don't even know what I'm trying to say. It's just so crazy.
There's nothing to say about it.
Yeah, maybe because there's nothing to say about
other than just a big fat no.
Right. And then always in the back of my mind, I always get so worried about, you know, any work that I will put out there for public viewing. And it's like, why do I even worry? If people are just canning their shit.
That's one of the things you just have to get over as someone who presents creative work. You have to not worry about what people think about it. You can take their criticism. You can take their comments. You can take their lauding.
Okay.
But, you can't worry about it too much. Like, same advice I gave it to you about Twitter. Don't read the comments.
Right. Right.
Nothing good can come of it.
Nothing good does come of it. No.
How disgusted I am by this article can be summarized, but the fine point is that my favorite word is scatological, and I didn't use it one time in describing this because
right.
it didn't even, it's not worthy of that word. Anyway.
No, it's not. It's not.
And then the last article we have today, Catherine, was another one you
yes.
sent to me about
yes.
a rock star who's also a painter.
Oh, yes. I really liked this one. Did you like this?
Gene Simmons.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm supposed to think that Gene Simmons is some kind of amazing painter?
Yes.
Well, actually, I kind of like the work.
I like his work from what we saw. I mean,
this was a little bit of an uplift. We don't see much of his work. So do you want to tell me a little bit about the backstory, how you found this and what's going on here?
It popped up in my feed. It popped up in
That's
my...
not a good enough explanation. That doesn't explain why you... Do you send everything that pops up in your head to me?
No, I said, no. Oh, no, there's more. And I
precisely.
Bet this strongly. I bet
so
this
exactly.
No,
so just, let's go through the vetting process.
Well, it was kind of like, you know, the article, it just came up and there's a little photo of Gene Simmons painting, like kind of an abstract canvas. And the title of the article just says, Gene Simmons has been making art in secret for 50 years. And I thought, oh, that sounds like Hunter Biden's been a lifelong artist. Let's see what Gene Simmons has to offer. And I was so impressed with this. He just talks about that during the pandemic, like the quote from Gene Simmons. He says, during the pandemic, I had a chance to pull decades of my art out of storage, and it reignited my passion for drawing and painting again. And I thought, you know, a lot of us pulled stuff out of storage in the pandemic, you know, whether it was literal or figurative. I mean, you know, we were kind of trapped in our spaces. I just thought it was very sweet. He talked a little bit about his experience moving from Israel to the U.S. And when he didn't speak English, he said you just kind of fell in love with drawing and comics instead of drawing at a very early age. Some of his drawings were in like fanzines,
mm-hmm.
like fan magazines. And I thought that was impressive. I mean, the guy's a talented guy. I was impressed with his work and I was impressed with his vibe about the art. I mean, he was approached to do a show and he's like, yeah, sure. You know, it didn't seem like really pretentious. I mean, he just seemed so cool about it. And it was kind of juxtaposing the Hunter Biden scenario we talked about.
Catherine, he doesn't need to be pretentious. He's a rock star.
Right. I know he's a rock star.
I'm sorry. He's a rock god.
Yes, he is. He is.
I'm glad you brought up Hunter Biden as a counterpoint. I would like to see these two guys in, first, an art off, and that is a word I just made up, which I'm sure people have used before, so it's not new, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But let's take piece by piece and see who wins. And I'm going to say that Gene Simmons' worst artwork is probably on par with Hunter Biden's best artwork, in that both are pretty bad. But Gene can go from there to some pretty genuinely interesting pieces, some pretty good work. So he would bury Hunter Biden. And I'd also like to see, after we do that, as the final round, I'd like to see these two guys just go at it, see who would beat the crap out of each other. I'm putting my money on Gene. I just think Hunter is too hollow of a human being to have anything there to be able to, you know, defend himself. I think Gene could pull this, even though he looks like he's 1,000 years old. I'm guessing he's much older than Hunter Biden. Or maybe I shouldn't be violent like that. But, you know, these articles are bringing the worst out of me.
I thought this was a good article, and I really enjoyed it.
I need someone to punch someone. That's all I need right now, Catherine. Someone needs to get a punch.
No, I just think Gene Simmons, I like, you know, and you can see his work, I guess, is going to be shown in at the Venetian.
Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, yeah, obviously. In October. I've been to that little gallery. It's kind of cute. He did say his inspiration was Jackson Pollock and Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually saw Warhol paint in person back in the mid-70s.
Boy, that must have been exciting.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's very clear about not having any professional training. He just likes to do it, which I think is the best. I just loved hearing that.
So the article has only two works in it. So it's hard to get a sense from it. But I will say the first work that I saw of his was a gold canvas with a very minimalist portrait of a woman on it. So basically just the head, the lips and the eye.
Right, right.
And I got to say, when I saw it, I was immediately drawn to it. I'm not saying it's great art. I haven't seen it in person, so I can't make any real judgment on it. But I was immediately drawn to it, which is weird because gold and bright red lipstick is not the kind of thing that generally interests me. It really struck me as being
beautiful.
There was something quintessentially American about it.
Mm-hmm.
The money in this. I don't know. It was, and I thought about it. It's like, wow, if Andy Warhol had been an artist, he may have made something like this.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that was beautiful. That is the highlight piece in the article. And when you first look at it, it almost looks like two kites flying. And then you look at, you're kind of drawn into it. And then you realize it's a woman's face. And I think it's good. I really like that piece. I like that piece a lot too.
It's hard to, I really want to see it in person to give it a good thorough once over because it's, there's a visceralness to it that I think, I don't know, that I'm either imagining it or it doesn't really all the way come through in just seeing a very small picture of it.
Right.
And we don't see much of the rest of his work. I did find a YouTube video where they actually interview him at the gallery and he's really, as you mentioned earlier, he's really chill about it. He's like, I'm here. And the interviewer is like, well, you're not pretentious. And he comes back with, are you kidding me? I'm a rock god. Or not. He didn't say that. He said something along those lines. He said, look, I got the pants. And he's wearing leather pants. He's like 90 years old and he's wearing leather pants. But he seems like he's comfortable in his own skin, which is more than we could say for a lot of people. But his other paintings or works really, even though we don't see very many of them in the video, they span a huge gamut of just non-objective expressionist work to very realistic drawings and very creative things as well. Like there's one portrait of a tiger, but it looks more like the hybrid of a tiger and a man. And I'm looking at this and it's a really well executed illustration of that, like a man tiger. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I can see that he's done a really nice job of crafting this kind of hybrid. And he's got some highly detailed drawings of there's one of the Statue of Liberty and there's another one of a castle. So it's just all over the board. We clearly see that he's got the ability to draw. So he can draw whatever he wants, but then he can also be abstract when he wants.
Las Vegas, October 14th through 16th at the Venetian's amazing gallery.
Of the stuff we talked about today, this is the only one that I want to see more of.
Yes, I would love to see. I actually, if I can make it to Las Vegas in October, I would love to go and see that. I mean, that is something I would get out of my house for at this point. I would do that.
I wouldn't expect too much from the gallery. I don't know how much they're going to be putting on there. I looked at their website and I couldn't even find Gene on there yet.
Oh, okay. If it does pan out, I would love to see his work in person. I would love to meet him. I think he just seems very interesting, like a very interesting person.
It's hard to say. I'm sure he's very well practiced at talking to people now.
Oh, absolutely.
Doing it his whole life. So.
His whole life, yeah. Know. Yeah, so well, good for I thought that was just the best article. I just loved it.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that's all we have time for this week as we disassemble, dismantle, disembody, disrespect the art world.
Right.
I'm glad we were able to end it on an up note. So the whole world isn't coming to an end, just most of it.
Just some of it. There's just some of it. Just some of it, right. Well, good, James. Thank you for your time. This was exciting.
Thanks
I will continue
for,
sending
oh boy.
I will continue sending you articles or no?
I don't think I could even stop you at this point. You're like a hurricane. This is just a force of nature I have to put up with.
I know. I found a little thing on Banksy that we can talk about next time.
It's like I can't stop the weather. It's going to be 110 degrees today, whether I like it or not.
Is it going to be 110?
No, I'm just saying in general
oh,
that
God,
can happen
thank
here.
Thank goodness. Okay.
But, I can't stop it from being, if it wants to be 110, it's probably going to be 110 just to spite me now. Thanks, Catherine.
I didn't do anything.
You invoked it.
I did not. Okay. Well, thanks for your time. This is fun.
Good luck.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.